You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And it's Locked On Lions, everybody, on this Thursday, October the 21st, into Friday, October the 22nd. 0-6 Lions at the 5-1 Rams coming up on Sunday, 4:05 in L.A. at SoFi Stadium. Matt Derry with you. We thank you for listening and joining us today on this, a crossover Thursday. My buddy Sosa Krimenis, who is the host of the Locked On Rams podcast, will join me momentarily for our crossover Thursday. We'll get Sosa's thoughts on what the Lions have done under Jared Goff so far. We'll find out more about what Matthew Stafford has looked like from an L.A. perspective and talk to Sosa coming up momentarily. Injury report and update as well. And the Lions did something very, very cool today. We have to give them credit for off the field. We'll get into that as well today on the program. Thanks for making us your first listen each and every day. Thanks for making Locked On Lions your first listen every day. And you can find us on all platforms. I post the podcast on Twitter every day. Follow me there at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, or at Locked On Lions on Twitter. Also, we post the podcast on the Matt Derry Facebook fan page, where your comments are always welcome, too. First and foremost, the Lions got back to practice today, and the good news is that as far as the injuries go, nobody was not at practice today that we expected not to be, meaning Jason Kabinda, who didn't practice on Wednesday, T.J. Hockenson, who didn't practice on Wednesday, Nick Williams, who missed practice yesterday. All of those guys were back. T.J. Hockenson, of course, is the big one with a knee. Lions need him back. We talked about it on yesterday's show in case you missed it. Just the targets have been down. The catches have been down the last 4 weeks because T.J.'s been bothered by knee and ankle problems. Everybody was back at practice today, which is a good sign. So the Lions are relatively healthy for them, and it's been a rough year injury-wise with all the guys who have been out for the year, Taylor Decker, Frank Ragnow, Romeo Okwara, Jeffrey Okuda, all those guys. But if the Lions can get Hockenson back, that would be a good sign, and we'll talk about the Rams and how they do defending tight ends with Sosa coming up in a little bit. But one thing is that Taylor Decker did not practice today, and let's be honest here. I think we would all be a little bit surprised if Decker even came back this year. Seriously. Dan Campbell questioned it yesterday. He said, look, with a broken hand and recovering from that and a splinter, a cast, there's a chance they could just shut him down in the next couple of weeks and leave him on IR for the season. This team isn't going anywhere. They're not going to win a lot of games. They're currently in the spot that would be the number one overall pick. So there's a chance they shut him down, and that would not surprise me at all if that's something that the Lions decided to do. So we'll see if that's something that that happens down the road. But, you know, look, this line opened, betonline.ag told us, the line opened at 13.5 last week. It's now up to 15.5 for the Rams. There's nobody that expects the Lions to win. But why can't Detroit go in there and surprise everybody? This is a game that everybody in Detroit will be watching. It's going to have a lot of eyeballs on it. I don't think the Lions are going to win, but why not go out there and play a good game? Why not go out there and get a turnover or two, turn Stafford over, stop the run, you know, force him to make this is, you know, everybody thinks this is going to be a cakewalk for LA. And look, they're going to score points. They're really good. But why can't the Lions go in there and play better and be in this game? Everybody's talking about how the Ravens are this juggernaut, the AFC, and they're red hot, and Lamar Jackson and everything else. The Lions should have beaten the Ravens. I'm not telling you the Lions are a better team than the Ravens or the Lions are a better team than the Rams, but let's see a good football game on Sunday. Let's see a good performance from this football team. Let's see something creative. I saw Anthony Lynn make a comment today about, well, you know, the players that don't practice during the week or miss practices are not as much in the game plan on Sunday. That's crap. Come on, Anthony. Get T.J. Hockenson involved. Get DeAndre Swift involved, even though he's been limited. Forget who's on the injury report. If these guys are out there on Sunday, if they're your best guys, Jamal Williams, DeAndre Swift, and T.J. Hockenson are your best guys on offense, find a way to really funnel them the football all day. I don't want to hear about excuses and, well, guys, and we're injured during the week. That's ridiculous. Fans aren't at practice during the week. They don't care about practice. At 4:05, we're all going to be glued. Let's see what the Lions can do. Let's see them get creative on offense. Let's see if this no-huddle stuff that they've talked about comes to fruition and they can dink and dunk down the field with Goff and keep the Rams offense off the field. I think that would be fantastic and something I would want to see. All right, two more quick things. Number one, Matthew Stafford met with the media Wednesday night, and here's about a minute or so on Stafford playing against his former team.
What he wants to say, I circled the Rams. I asked for a trade not knowing anywhere where I was going to be. There were a bunch of different spots where I thought I could go. I ended up here. I'm extremely happy to be here. Pinch myself, getting the opportunity to play for this team with these players and these coaches. As far as comparing it to Detroit, I'm not going to do it. I just know that I'm having, a blast playing a bunch of football with some great players and great coaches. I loved my time in Detroit. I loved all the experiences I had. Some of them were tough, but they helped mold me into the player and the person that I am today. I spent some, really meaningful time in my life, both on and off the field in Detroit, and I really enjoyed all of it. So I'm having fun what I'm doing right now. I had a great, experience for 12 years in Detroit. That's kind of how I want to lead it.
All right, so there's Matthew Stafford taking the high road, just like Jared Goff did yesterday. Goff didn't put up any bulletin board material. I don't think Stafford's going to do the same or rip the franchise. We know how Matthew Stafford feels about Detroit. He does love it. I think he's a pretty genuine guy. We also know that Matthew Stafford knows of a lot of the the foibles that go on at 222 Rodwood Drive and won it out. And now he's at a much better place and a place where he can win. But give Stafford credit. That's basic stuff right there that he said. He's not going to say anything out of the ordinary. I know there were some people a little butthurt that he didn't want to do a media conference call with the Detroit people. Why would he? What's he going to say? All right, we can all get the sound bites from the L.A. side. It's not that big of a deal. Final thing that we're going to get to Sosa Cremenes and the crossover. A lot of credit has to go to Sheila Ford Hamp, Rod Wood, and the folks behind the scenes at the Lions. That's right. Rod Wood getting credit from me, but I have to give it. Today, the Lions posted a video at DetroitLions.com and all over their social media of special assistant to the president, Chris Spielman, getting in front of the camera to do a read for an event that's going to take place at halftime of the October 31st game against the Eagles. And basically, they tricked Chris into reading that he himself, Chris Spielman, is going into the Lions Ring of Honor, the pride of the Lions that day at halftime. Chris had no idea about it. He started reading the read. And then when he got to the part about tackles and leading the Lions and tackles and all that, he knew it was about himself. And he started crying. Give the Lions a lot of credit. That video is awesome. Rod Wood and Sheila appeared behind this curtain to surprise him and to hug him, and I thought that was really cool. So, well-deserved honor for Chris, four-time Pro Bowler, one of the great Lion defenders of all time, going into the Lions Ring of Honor, and the way the Lions presented that today was very neat. So, good job by the Lions on that side, and hopefully it'll be a good crowd next week when the Lions play the Eagles, and everybody can cheer Chris on. Well-deserved. If the Lions are smart, do not put Sheila on the microphone again. Don't do that for the Spielman announcement. All right, we're going to talk to Sosa Cremenes of Locked On Rams momentarily. First, we got to tell you, though, about our friends at rockauto.com. Save time, save money, and buy your auto parts from our friends at rockauto.com. Why would you want to go anywhere else? You wouldn't. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Don't do it. Go to rockauto.com. It's a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto's prices are reliably low for every customer, and they've got everything you need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go to the website. It's easy to explore. It's great. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
Locked On Rams and Locked On Lions listeners, welcome to the second segment now. We're going to dive into this crossover portion of this episode. And of course, this is a big game. So I am joined by Locked On Lions host, Matt Deary. And we're going to break down everything about this game. Obviously, it's an important one between two teams that have a little bit of familiarity now. You know, there's a lot of back and forths here. Matthew Stafford now with the Rams, Jared Goff, Michael Brockers with the Lions, as well as some of the front office and coaching members. You look at guys like Aubrey Pleasant and Brad Holmes. So, Matt, I guess that's where we'll begin. I want to hear how some of our old friends are doing over in Detroit right now. I know probably not the most successful season, maybe not too enjoyable for Lions fans, but in general, I feel like they've been in a lot more closer games than even I expected so far.
Yeah, so you ask how are they doing? The answer is not good. When you're off to an 0-6 start, and certainly not what they expected. Look, nobody expected this team to be a playoff contender. Only the diehard slappies would think, oh, maybe we can go 8-8 or 7-9 in the first year of a rebuild. No way. I said 4 wins, but I thought they'd have one by now. But 0-6, it's not been good. Last Sunday was ugly against Cincinnati. They were dominated from start to finish. Not a great effort, which has been unusual. Like you said, Dan Campbell's teams through the first 5 weeks really scrapped and played hard. Should have beaten the Ravens, should have beaten the Vikings, to be quite honest. But so far, it's been a struggle. And, you know, Jared Goff certainly will be in the spotlight this Sunday. He has got to play better football. So you watched him for years with the Rams. He has not played well. 6 fumbles in 6 weeks. He's saying all the right things about, hey, when I get back there, it's going to be fun. I'm going to see a lot of friends and coaches. He's taken the high road about Sean McVay, but he hasn't played good football, and he doesn't have a lot of weapons to throw to, and that's a problem.
Yeah, and I think even when you look at Dan Campbell kind of putting him out on blast, it felt like with that press conference a few days ago. I guess we'll keep it there with Jared Goff. Now, when you look at this quarterback situation, obviously he's not played that great, but he's not exactly in the best situation, right, either. You're talking about a lot of receivers that the Lions didn't go into the season thinking we're going to be the 1, 2, and 3 options there. So when you look at, you know, the rest of this season and even going into next season after this rebuild, after this first year, do you think there's any chance that they can go into next season with Jared Goff as that quarterback again? Or do you think this might be a 1-and-done type of scenario, or even an addition to the room where he can kind of, you know, battle it out going into next year as that starting quarterback?
Well, first off, I don't necessarily think that Campbell put Goff on blast. He said before that the entire offense was to blame, not just the quarterback, but then said, but we need Jared to step up. I like that he said that. I don't think necessarily it was as demeaning as some national folks thought it was on Goff. But let's be honest here. He's not played well. Last week, 7-0 game, second quarter, Lions moving a little bit, 3rd and 4 at about the 45 of the Bengals. And he's got T.J. Hockenson coming out of the backfield in a different formation that confused Cincinnati, tight end lined up next to him, and he goes with a wheel route. And Hockenson, a good throw, and it's a touchdown, Sosa, and he missed him, just overshot him. Those are the kind of bad throws that he's making that are proving to be very, very costly in games like this. So he has got to be better on throws that, you know, unfortunately, his counterpart this week, Matthew Stafford made, or an Aaron Rodgers would make. You look at the passer rating, he's near the bottom. So he has to do better. Do I think he's going to be here next year the way he's playing right now? No, but they don't have a quarterback, a young quarterback to groom. They didn't draft one. This year's draft is very bad when it comes to quarterbacks. So I don't know. I mean, it'll be a lot of money to have to eat after this year, but I can tell you one thing, in 2023, there's no way he's here.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the situation that they went into this rebuild thinking, right, is kind of get that bridge guy, maybe give him a shot and see how it works out in the time being. So I want to flip to the other side of the ball, this defense. I feel like they're playing a little bit better than most people expected. Maybe not this past week, like you mentioned, the Bengals game, probably a forgettable one. But you look at the Ravens game, the Vikings game, I feel like they were a lot better than a lot of people give them credit for. So when you look at this side of the ball and for the Rams offense specifically, is there any players that you kind of want to highlight that we should know about, maybe thinking about some matchups to watch in this contest?
You know, I don't think that the Lions have anybody that's a standout on defense that you go, man, he's been really great. But you're right. The scheme with Aaron Glenn has been better. They've played better than expected. Again, this past Sunday, they just ran out of gas because the offense couldn't stay on the field. But they did battle against the Ravens. They held Lamar in check. Kirk Cousins didn't really do anything until the very end of the game against the Vikings. Again, held them to 19 points. So they've been better than what they were a year ago, which was the NFL's worst defense. I like what Charles Harris has done coming off the edge. He's been a pleasant surprise. Derek Barnes, the rookie middle linebacker, is starting to play better. Tracy Walker, the strong safety, has been okay. I think the scheme is better. They're not playing as much man as they did in the past under Matt Patricia, so that's a good sign. But they're also due to get lit up because they're just banged up and not that good.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, this could be the week, right? You're looking at a Rams offense that's pretty explosive, got a lot of different weapons there on that side of the ball. But this may be a little bit early to ask, but I got to kind of ask just to see how, you know, the Lions media and Lions Nation is kind of feeling about this one. In terms of Dan Campbell, the early returns, how do they seem? Obviously, it's only six games in, but I think, you know, from an outsider's perspective, it feels like he's done a really good job at putting his imprint on this team. In terms of your eyes and your point of view, what's it kind of been like for him throughout these first six games?
It's still a work in progress. I still would give it an incomplete. I don't know if he can coach or not. I like the culture that he's created. The players seem to like to play for him. There's been a lot of distractions. There's been a lot of injuries. Frank Ragnow, best offensive player and Pro Bowl center, out for the year. Romeo Okwara, best pass rusher, out for the year. Probably their best defender. Jamie Collins, they had to cut because as a veteran player, he just wasn't fitting. They've had a lot of injuries. So I think Dan Campbell has kept it together to where, like you said earlier, the effort has been there. But, of course, after the Vikings loss, he cried at the press conference and got emotional. That got a lot of national attention. I like Dan Campbell. I like what he's doing. But, again, they haven't been in enough games where you're saying this decision hurt them, that decision helped them. There have been some close games. There's been some decisions that you question. But, you know, he went for two against the Vikings a couple weeks ago, and Goff hit Kadarius Hodge for the go-ahead score. And it was like, wow, that's ballsy, and it was great. But then they came down, rushed three on two of the three plays. Cousins had all day to throw. And then they lose because the Vikings moved down the field and kicked a field goal. So I just don't think they have a lot of talent. Dan Campbell is on a six-year deal. He's not going anywhere. The Ford family is notorious for keeping coaches longer than usual. So I think for now he's fine. They just got to get that first win, but I don't see it coming this week.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see when it does ultimately come. And I think, you know, from this side of the spectrum here, it's going to be fun to see how that team is sort of rebuilt. You talked about, you know, there's not huge expectations for the team this year. Let's just be honest. Nobody expected them really to be a playoff contender or a playoff team. But Brad Holmes did a great job with the Rams, doing a lot in terms of the draft picks. And of course, the Rams have not had a lot of first round picks or early round picks. So I do think that the Lions are in pretty good hands there. In just a second here, we're going to flip the tables. Matt's going to put me on the hot on the spotlight and kind of just dive into some questions here about the Rams and maybe some old friends in terms of guys like Matthew Stafford. Of course, you guys dive into the Locked On Rams and Locked On Lions podcast throughout the rest of this week. We're going to continue to break down this game. And then, of course, going into next week, recap what happens in this contest. As you guys, Rams Nation, have heard me talk about many times, I'm an avid bettor when it comes to the NFL. You guys can join in on the action. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. You can get all the latest updated odds, props, and contests, including the $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and the $200,000 Survivor Contest, both open now at BetOnline. You can go ahead to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football to basketball to boxing, all the way to horse racing. They're going to have you covered for everything happening in the 2021 season. So make sure to take advantage of all the great offers available right now at betonline.ag.
I'm Matt Derry, Locked On Lions. Sosa Crimenez from Locked On Rams, the Thursday crossover, a game that many people have been waiting in Detroit a long time for, the Matthew Stafford return, not necessarily to Detroit, but just returning to the field, but this time as an opponent facing the Lions. And Sosa, there's been so much made of Stafford. There are some Lions fans that are going to be glued to this game and actually kind of rooting for Matthew to do well, because he was pretty well liked in Detroit, off to a 5-1 start. What kind of a letter grade would you give Matthew Stafford to start this season so far?
Yeah, you know, I think it's kind of been everything you could expect as of right now in terms of the early returns. Of course, they're only 6 weeks in. For me right now, I think it'd be somewhere in the A- range. You know, there's always more to be had. And I think, especially in the last few games, there's been that early start that's just been sort of slow for the Rams. I don't really know why, you know, what we could chalk that up to. The first quarter has sort of been rough, not just from Stafford, but in terms of the entire offense. And I still feel like you always see that lack of chemistry come up every now and again, which it's not necessarily Stafford's fault, right? They didn't play in the preseason together. None of these guys got reps together. So they're kind of just learning on the go. So there's, you know, some things they still got to iron out there. And you see some of those passes every now and again come up where it's like, ah, oh, man, you should not have thrown that. I don't know where you were trying to fit that into. There was no window whatsoever. You saw it against the Giants. Probably should have threw one, if not two, interceptions early in that contest. But, you know, for the most part, I don't mean to rag on the guy. The guy's been amazing for the Rams. Everything that we thought he was going to be for this team, he's been and then some. I mean, you're talking about accurate, a guy that can move in the pocket, very good footwork, knows where the pressure is, can kind of feel it from the backside. And even when he doesn't have his eyes down, he's not looking at the pass rush. And he loves to push the ball downfield. I think everyone that's a Lions fan kind of knows that. And that's a huge welcomed addition for the Rams, I think, especially going from Jared Goff, who, you know, it's kind of like that captain check down style of player where you're not going to get many explosive plays. It's the complete opposite right now for the Rams. I think you really can't ask for much more out of Stafford. Still ironing out some of those details, the chemistry, trying to learn the offense, of course. But through six games, I feel like it's been a really, really good transition right now to a new quarterback.
Are you surprised that Goff has been this bad in Detroit, or is this what you expected him to be?
You know, I was probably a little bit more of a skeptic in terms of Jared Goff. So I would say I'm not very surprised, especially over the last 2 years. It's been consistent regression. For those that maybe think of Jared Goff as the 2018 version, you could definitely say they might be surprised, because at that point he was one of the better quarterbacks in football. But I feel like, you know, 2019, 2020, it's been consistent regression to the point where I think you could even make the case, especially going back to the end of last year, that maybe John Wolford is backup. Might have been the better player at that point in time in that situation. I think he could have made that argument there. And I was one of those people that thought Wolford probably should have started moving forward into the playoffs. So I'm not really surprised. You know, this is a guy who's been very turnover prone over the course of his career. I don't know what it is with the fumbles. The pocket presence just is not there. I mean, he lets go of the football so often. So it's not exactly a surprise to me, especially when you look at some of the surrounding pieces, not exactly the most talented roster. He was going to be kind of tossed into the fire there, which is, you know, unfortunate. It's not going to help his situation, but I'm not surprised really at all.
Tell me about Stafford's connection with Cooper Kupp. Those two are putting up immense numbers together, and it just seems like if you're the Lions defense, this is a guy that could really light them up on Sunday, number 10, right?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, he hasn't been stopped yet. He looks like he's on an absolute tear. There was a cool stat from JB Long who dropped it a few days ago. He said that I believe Cooper Kupp was the second receiver in NFL history, only to Randy Moss, to get over 600 receiving yards and I think 7 receiving touchdowns throughout the first 6 weeks of a season. So, I mean, anytime you're in comparison with a guy like Randy Moss, you're probably doing something pretty good, I'd say. And of course, it feels like he and Stafford just have this connection where I'm not really sure how it developed so quickly, especially when you look at Stafford and a guy like Robert Woods. They still have this clear lack of chemistry. So it's kind of weird to see how quickly he and Kupp have developed. But I mean, in terms of these two players, they look like they're pretty much unstoppable right now. Matthew Stafford is consistently looking Kupp's way, whether it's, you know, third and seven or in the red zone in those most important areas. And Kupp has always been a guy that's been very, very good at separating and setting up his route. So he's always been a guy that's a clear separator at that receiver position. And it's just been a really, really good marriage so far. I think at some point they might have to slow down on the targets a little bit to try and kind of conserve this guy, because it is a long season. But as of right now, I just don't know how you can stop him. I mean, he's been one of the best, if not top two, top three receivers in football.
What about the Lions offensively against the Rams on defense? I know LA has not been as good against the run this year as they've been in the past. Look, we know about Aaron Donald and how great he is, but is that something where the Lions figure we got to keep Stafford and company off the field? We don't want Goff to be too amped up for this game and put him in different positions, difficult positions. So maybe it's the Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift show on the ground. How have the Rams been defensively guarding the run?
Yeah, it's been a work in progress, like you mentioned. It's not exactly the best stout run defense, but there is, you know, flashes where they kind of step up and look like one of those defenses that has maybe that potential at some point in time. I think in this game, they might be a little bit more open to being stacking the box a little bit there on the defensive side of the ball, maybe trying to play the run a little bit more, because Jared Goff is somebody they're obviously very familiar with, and they don't necessarily have to worry about that deep ball like against some of the other quarterbacks that they've played in recent weeks. You look at guys like Kyler Murray, Tom Brady. I mean, those guys are going to push the ball downfield. So maybe less of a concern in terms of the passing or aerial attack this week. But I definitely think, you know, if the Lions want to try to attack this defense in any manner, it's definitely going to make a lot of sense to try and ground and pound, like you mentioned, keep Stafford in that offense on the sidelines, try and rip off some 4, 5, 7 yard chunks on the ground. And even a guy like T.J. Hockenson, I think would make a lot of sense to try and implement in this game plan, because the Rams against tight ends been only subpar. You know, there's kind of some of those holes in the middle of the defense there in the zone coverage. So those are probably the two most susceptible areas, I'd say, for this defense. But in general, you know, they've done a pretty good job, I think, especially in those red zone areas, the most important areas, that kind of just clenching down and not really allowing teams to score a lot of touchdowns. So in the money areas, they've been solid, but I do think there is definitely some leaky areas there against the run.
Sosa Jimenez from Locked On Rams, Matt Derry, Locked On Lions. Tell me about Sean McVay this week. Are we going to see him go for the jugular here and really want to blow this thing out, really stick it to Goff? Are we talking Johnny Hecker? And I know Hecker's done it a lot of times. Am I seeing Johnny Hecker this week throwing some throwing the rock around on a fake punt? I mean, is this kind of a McVay revenge game where he's like, hey, I got rid of Goff, and watch this. We're going to put up a 40-50 spot on them. Do you think that's the way Sean McVay's thinking or no?
I don't know if it is necessarily. I hope it is, you know, because at the end of the day, this is a business and there's no harsh feelings here. You just kind of got to win, right? But at the same time, it feels like there's something extra here. You know, you talk about this relationship between Sean McVay and Jared Goff souring over the course of their career there. And then Sean McVay going out in a press conference and saying, I could have handled it better, maybe been a little bit more clear. And those have been some of the complaints, I would say, from fans. It's like he's very coach speak type of player or coach there. But at the same time, you know, I'm just looking at this game right now. The Rams feel like a much more talented unit. I mean, this is clearly a team that a lot of people think is going to be a Super Bowl contender, myself included. They're definitely one of the best teams in the NFC. And if that's the case, you want to go out here, especially at home at SoFi Stadium, and try to put out a good show. I mean, there's really no prisoners in this moment. You look back to last week, the Rams didn't really feel bad about nearly putting up 40 against the New York Giants. Pulled a lot of their players in the fourth quarter with 10 minutes left, which you just don't see very often in the NFL. So I do think the Rams are going to win this game. I think should be a multiple score difference, maybe 2-3 touchdowns. We'll see ultimately how close it is. But in general, I feel like might not see Johnny Hecker out there throwing any passes. He did it last week. They kind of reserve those for really random areas and random times. But in general, I do think that the Rams are going to try to do whatever they can to really put up a big performance in this game. It's sort of a statement game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Lions, really their best opportunity to win a football game is going to come next week against Philly at home. I think this one's just going to be I just think LA is just so much better than Detroit, and Stafford's going to want to do well. And I think it's going to be a tough matchup, certainly for the Lions on Sunday. And spread went what started at 13 up to 17, 16 and a half. That's not a good sign. It's tough to go cross country and win. So I'm with you on that. So great to chat with you, my friend, on the Thursday crossover.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for always listening, and make sure to enjoy this game. Tune back into the Locked On Rams and Locked On Lions podcast throughout the rest of this week. We're going to continue to update you guys with these contests. And of course, going into next week, making us your first daily listen. As always, enjoy this game. Perfect.